I want to invite everyone to please stand with me, and we'll read God's word together. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, just a few verses there, starting in verse 44. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." This is God's word. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you and praise you that you have given us the chance to be your people through the work of Christ Jesus on our behalf. And God, as we dive into a series talking about what your son Jesus said about money, God, we want to learn how to be disciples of Christ in this area of our lives. God, we might talk a lot in the church about how to be good in our family, good Christians in our family, or good Christians in our workplaces, or good Christians in the church. But Lord, today we want to talk about a subject that's sensitive. We're going to talk about money. And God, we desire not to hold back this area of our lives from you. But God, we know that you held nothing back for us in Christ. And in the same way, Lord, would you please teach us through the words of Jesus, your son, how to hold nothing back in service to you, in love for you, in worship to you. And may you fill us with the joy of the Spirit, knowing that it is our joy to follow Christ for all that he's done for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Scratch. Wampum. Dough. Sugar. Clams. Loot. Bills. Bones. Bread. Bucks. Money. Those are the opening lines of the Netflix show Ozark, in which the main character launders money for a drug cartel. And he opens the whole series in this opening monologue by asking the question, what is money? He says this, "Is it simply an agreed-upon unit of exchange for goods and services? $3.70 for a gallon of milk, $30 to cut your grass? Or is it an intangible? Security or happiness? Peace of mind? Let me propose a third option. Money as a measuring device. You see, the hard reality is how much money we accumulate in life is not a function of who's president, or the economy, or bubbles bursting, or bad breaks, or bosses. It's about the American work ethic. Patience, frugality, sacrifice. When you boil it down, what do these three things have in common? They're choices. Money is not peace of mind, he says. Money's not happiness. Money is, at its essence, that measure of a man's choices. He says money is about choices we make. That's, it's a measuring tool to measure the choices we make. And I think he's right. And so does Jesus. We're starting this series called Jesus on Money today. And the reason we want to talk about it is that Jesus talked about money more than he talked about heaven or hell combined. He talked about money because in his context, in his day, 2,000 years ago, the people around him were obsessed with money. They worried about it. They longed for it. They used and abused it. And in love, Jesus was committed to meeting people where they were at, and so he talked about money all the time. Now ask yourself, in a Bay Area region where we live, that was originally built by a gold rush, that's dominated by economic bubbles and busts and booms, where the median home price is nearly four times the national average, over $700,000, are we as a culture here less money obsessed than the ancient subsistence farmers that Jesus was talking to in Galilee and Israel? I don't think so. If anything, if Jesus did his earthly ministry here and now in the Bay Area, he would talk about money far more than he did 2,000 years ago. So in this series, we're going to be drawing six principles from Jesus' teaching on money, primarily from the parables that we find in the gospel accounts of his life and death and resurrection. And the first principle we're going to talk about today is treasure. Treasure is the first principle for this series. What does Jesus say about treasure? A 2014 Wells Fargo survey found that there is something that Americans were more uncomfortable talking about than sex, religion, politics, or even death. 44% of Americans said that the most difficult topic of conversation, more difficult than all those other things, is personal finances. Journalist Chris Taylor says that money is the last taboo. It's the last thing we're afraid to talk about in public. We're not supposed to talk about it. Telling other people how much you're worth is impolite. It's gauche, right? Being honest about your budget priorities in the church with your brothers and sisters kind of seems invasive, intrusive. I'm not very comfortable. I mean, it's none of your business how much I spent on Candy Crush power-ups. Or on single origin pour over coffee. It's none of your business how much I spend on my car lease or on my last vacation. It's my private affair. Leave me alone. But out. But the beautiful thing about Jesus and his ministry is that he doesn't butt out. He doesn't leave us alone. He knows that money is one of the things that we think about most and submit to God the least. He knows that if money is our treasure, that if earthly wealth is where we place our treasure, our worth, our value in this life, then we will lose everything we hold most dear one day. But if Jesus is our treasure, then we gain him, and as C.S. Lewis says, everything else gets thrown in as well. So in our passage, in verses 44 and 46, in both the treasure hidden in a field and the pearl of great value, The person who found these things sold all that they had in order to get that thing that was of more value. They sold all they had to buy the field, sold all they had to buy the pearl. Nothing the people in these stories have is worth holding back in order to get these treasures. The man who found the treasure hidden in a field, he didn't, you know, find the treasure, bury it back, and then go home and look longingly at his baseball card collection. He didn't mourn the loss of grandma's silverware or his dad's antique watch. He didn't say, I really want the field, but if I sell my car, how am I going to get home? I could buy a fleet of helicopters with the treasure that I find, but I'd rather not ask for a ride. Forget it. Oh, he didn't say any of those things. In the story, the treasure was far more valuable. The treasure is priceless. There was no price too high for him to pay. It was worth everything for him to get it. He knew that obtaining it would make him far richer than any of the possessions that he already had. There was no cost too great. There was no price too high. The treasure was priceless. There may be thousands of treasures buried in fields that pirates put there hundreds of years ago, right? There may be dozens of perfect pearls that pearl merchants are out there searching for. But God had only one son. And God gave up his one son for all of us. God gave up his treasure. His treasure was Jesus, and God gave up his treasure so that he could be ours. Jesus is worth everything. Jesus is the real treasure. Jesus is priceless. You know, unlike us, God isn't afraid to let us know exactly how much he's worth. Like, I don't want you to see my portfolio or my bank statements. But God's not afraid of us seeing his. If you looked at God's bank statement, you would know that God's wealth is infinite. That he possesses everything in heaven, on earth. All the riches in the heavenly places, all the wealth in the universe is on God's balance sheet. And all that wealth, all those riches, all that value, every bit of God's treasure on that statement would be summed up in one word. Jesus. Jesus was God's greatest treasure. And God isn't ashamed of letting us know how he spent it. He's not ashamed to let us know how he spent his greatest treasure. I might be ashamed if I were God. Like, I don't treat money like God treats money. See, I'm not a big spender. I like to save. I don't like to spend too much. I'd rather forego something now in order to get more stuff later. But God isn't like me. God's a big spender. In fact, God spent everything to redeem you and me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. He gave his greatest treasure. And the measure of God's love for you is the costliness of that gift. The measure of God's love for you is how much it cost him to redeem you. It cost God everything to redeem you. And God's love was on high definition 3D display when he gave his greatest treasure in Christ at the cross to redeem us from sin and death. Jesus is God's greatest treasure, and God willingly, freely gave him up for us all. Do you realize what that means? It means that you and I, that we are God's treasure. We are God's treasure. If God was the man in the story who found the pearl of great price, he willingly gave up everything in his possession. He freely went and sold all that he had so that he could obtain you and me, so that he could obtain his people, his church. God willingly sold all to obtain us. Jesus isn't God's greatest treasure any longer. God gave up Christ so he could obtain you and me, so he could buy us, purchase us. God so loved you. To God, you are the treasure buried in the field. You are the pearl of great price. You're worth giving up everything for God to redeem. You're worth God losing his greatest treasure for him to obtain. Do you believe that? Then the question for us becomes, when we see what God's greatest treasure was and now is, the question for us is, what's my real treasure? What do I most treasure in my heart? What do I most want, long for? What do I daydream about? Jesus is the real treasure. He is priceless, and God was willing to give up that priceless treasure to redeem us, to save us from sin and death. We are God's treasure now. And we have to ask ourselves, is he our treasure? Or is it money? Is it material wealth? Do we put our hope in Christ or in our possessions? Is our security in Jesus? Or is it in our nest egg? Do we get our joy from the gospel or from our next purchase? In Christ Jesus, we have a treasure worth far more than anything we could ever obtain through work, through savings, through inheritance. If we're disciples of Jesus, if we've said, I will follow him all the days of my life, then he is our treasure already. But if Jesus is our treasure, then what do we do with our money? If Jesus is our treasure and we have money from our work, that we've earned, that we've saved, how are we supposed to think about it? You know the phrase, put your money where your mouth is? Put your money where your mouth is. What, we even have an emoji for that, right? Why do we say, put your money where your mouth is? We mean that we should show we believe what we say by backing it up with some kind of loss, with some kind of risk, with some kind of financial investment. You don't invest your money in something that you know you'll lose, right? You invest in what you really believe in. So put your money where your mouth is. And that's actually exactly the way that Jesus taught us to think about money. He told us that money is an X-ray for your soul. Money is an X-ray for your soul. He said this in Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying money reveals where your treasure is. Your money exposes your heart. It x-rays your soul. And that's why we don't want to talk about money. That's why money's the last taboo. Money's taboo because I don't want you to know what I do with it. I don't want you to know what I do with it. Because I don't want you to see where my priorities are. I don't want you to see where my priorities are, really, where put my money where my mouth is. Because you'll see the ways in which I'm a hypocrite, or a glutton, or a selfish consumer, or a Scrooge-like saver. You'll see all of that on display if you look at my bank statement or my credit card statement. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't want to talk about money because I don't want you to see the x-ray that my money reveals. I don't want you to see my soul on display in the way I spend and save my money. So a few years ago, I broke my foot. Some of you were here to see that, and me walking around with crutches and a boot and things. I was walking out of my house and tripped and fell, and I thought I had just twisted my ankle, maybe sprained it. And so I was hurt, I was down, and my wife was like, you should go to the doctor, we should go to the hospital. It's like, no, it's fine. If I just twisted my ankle, I'm not gonna go to a doctor because that would make me a wuss, right? And so I twisted my ankle before I know what to do. So I elevated it up on the coffee table, sat on the couch, stayed off it, iced my foot, iced my ankle, and just kind of stayed stationary for a day. And then at the end of that first day, I tried to get up and walk on it, and the pain was excruciating. It was awful. Like I couldn't put any weight on it at all, let alone like actually go for a stroll. I was like, no, I'm still not gonna go to the doctor. Like, I'm not gonna go. I don't need a doctor. I just twisted my ankle. It's just a really bad twist. So I did the same thing the next day. Sat on it, you know, elevated it, iced it, stayed off it. And the second day, I tried to put a little bit of weight on it, and same thing, the pain was awful. Like, I felt like I've never experienced pain like that before. So the third day, I decided, fine, I'll go to the doctor. And I went to the doctor, and they x-rayed my foot, and, you know, I'm waiting in a room for the doctor to come and explain things to me. And she brings in this x-ray of my foot, and there's this, like, you know, this little tiny line right here on one of the bones of my pinky toe. And she says, you see that right there? You have a fracture in your, you know, she's kind of explaining this whole thing to me. I don't remember anything about it now, except that, like, it's a dancer's break or something like that, or ballerina's break. I was like, great. Very manly, right? So she shows me this little line on the x-ray, and I wouldn't have seen the line, or I wouldn't have known that there was anything wrong with it if I didn't have the doctor there to explain it to me. I'm not a doctor, I don't know these things. And so it took her explaining the break to me to understand why I was in the pain that I was. If you looked at a statement of your saving and spending from the last year, you'd probably be like me, looking at the x-ray of my foot. If your money and what you do with it is an x-ray of your soul, and you look at that x-ray, you probably wouldn't see anything necessarily wrong. You wouldn't be able to see anything wrong unless you had someone to point it out to you. And that's why Jesus talked as much as he did about money. He was taking the x-ray of our soul that money is, and holding it up to the light, and pointing out the brokenness, giving us proper diagnosis and treatment for our spirits. And that's really what we want to do through this series. Let Jesus talk about the way that our hearts are broken in the way we use our money, so that we can be sure as his disciples, as his followers, to put our treasure in the right place. And you might be like me. You might not think there's anything wrong with you right now. But have you ever had a conflict with your spouse, an argument about money? Have you ever been anxious about the future financially? Have you ever been worried about affording rent or school? Have you ever worked overtime, extra, to make sure you could make ends meet? Have you ever daydreamed about something that you can't currently afford? Have you ever been frustrated about your financial plans not exactly working out? To you, those might seem like a twisted ankle. No big deal. It happens. Just elevate it, ice it. But in reality, all of those things and more point to the brokenness in our hearts, point to the ways that we are broken, that we can't see unless we have Jesus to point them out to us. It may be those things are revealing to you the ways in which your treasure is in the wrong place, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. So ask yourself, what does your money reveal about your priorities right now? If you and Jesus looked at an x-ray of your money together, what would it say? What would he show you about your heart through your earning and your planning and your spending and your saving? Jesus taught in his ministry that he is the real treasure. He taught us that money is an x-ray for our souls, revealing what we really treasure in our heart of hearts. How should Christians deal with money? How should we as his people deal with it? If Jesus is our treasure, then why does God give us money, apart from pointing out all the ways we're sinful? What are we actually supposed to do with the resources God gives us? I believe that God gives us money so we can make Jesus our treasure. God gives us money so we can make Jesus our treasure. Some voices in your life, in this world, will say that your money is proof of your hard work, skill, and intelligence. Other voices are going to tell you that you're owed a certain amount of money. You deserve it by virtue of your birth or talent or education. Still others will encourage you to take the money that you have and use it to please yourself, to gain your every heart's desire. After all, L'Oreal taught us that you're worth it, right? But that's not heaven's perspective on your money. It's not Jesus's. No, he says in Mark 8:34, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He says, give up what you have in order to serve me. Show with everything that you have, all of your possessions, every penny of your wealth, all of your time, show with everything that you are devoted to me and me alone. Show with all of these things that you want nothing more than me, that I am your treasure. And if you do that, if you really believe in me and follow me by faith, then he will set you free. As he says in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. God gives us money so we can make Jesus our treasure, so we can serve him, so we will have the means to take what we have and devote it back to him. To him alone. To him only. To him completely. To him totally. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 16. It says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have been unfaithful," or been faithful, no, I'm sorry. "If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth," material possessions, "who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." See, Jesus is saying there that the money, the wealth, the material possessions you have right now is the little that you've been given to show faithfulness with, so that you'll become a person who is trustworthy with the far greater riches that God wants to entrust to you. Your income is a training ground for your heart to make Jesus your treasure every day in every way. You have to give all of your money to Jesus in order to be truly free in your heart to serve him and him alone. You cannot serve both God and money. And this actually speaks to a deeper, more magnificent point. You realize you're more rich than Warren Buffett? That in Christ you're richer than George Soros, than Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg or Jeff Bezos? Yeah, they have more financial capital than you do. But in Christ, you and I have far more than money. We have real treasure. We have something worth giving everything for. We have Christ Jesus himself. We have the grace of God poured out for us in the gift of his only Son. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor so that by his poverty you might become rich. See, Jesus wasn't just rich. No, he possessed, he made, he created heaven and earth, and he gave up all of it so that you could be rich in him. And it's because of that. It's because of the gospel of his grace poured out for you, though you could never deserve it, that Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 3 that all things, everything is yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. The quote I opened with said that money is the measure of our choices. And that's exactly what it is. It's there to show us the choices we've already made in the depths of our hearts. And God gives money to us so that we can day by day faithfully make Jesus the greatest treasure we desire. Jesus is the real treasure. In Christ, we have true riches, real wealth, a treasure that will not pass and cannot fade. And we receive that treasure not by our own work, but by God's grace through faith in Jesus. Do you believe that? If you do, you put your money where your mouth is. Do you use your money to make Jesus your treasure? Father God, I admit to you that there are ways in which I don't use my money to make Jesus my treasure. God, there are ways that I am selfish with the resources that you've blessed me with. God, there are ways that I find hope and security in financial gain. Father, I pray that you would forgive me for that. I pray, Lord, that you would change my heart. That you would take away this unbelief in my own heart and teach me to look to Jesus alone for my hope, for my security, for my joy. Father, I pray that you would work Christ's teaching into our hearts. That you would help us all, Lord, to take an honest look at what our money says about what we want, what we most truly desire. And God, that as we see that, as we believe more deeply in the gospel of your grace in Christ, God, I pray that you would help us to see more clearly how Jesus is the real treasure, and that we would give all that we have, all that we are, all of our time, our talent, our treasure to the Lord, to Christ. That we would do all to his glory, to worship him. That we would not stay comfortable, not think that we have it all together, not look at the x-ray of our soul and think that it's just a twisted ankle. But Lord, I pray that you would point out the brokenness in our hearts and in our lives with respect to the way we look at material possessions. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring us to repentance. That you would bring us to faith again in Christ. And God, that you would help us to see the riches that we have in him. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is ours in Christ. May we see that, taste that, and devote ourselves to it. It's in Christ's name that we pray.